collaborative,
experimentation,
the next idea.
We need a participation revolution, and we need it fast.
One of the persistent messages that we've heard through these many months of the next idea is this. STEM careers are critically important to Michigan's economy, and there just aren't enough students coming through the science, technology, engineering, and math pipeline to fill the STEM jobs Michigan will have. Our latest contributor to The Next Idea believes one very good way to address the shortage of STEM professionals is by taking steps to bring minorities and women into these fields. Dr. Kelly Christopher began her career as a civil engineer with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She's the founder and president of MindBoggle. It's a kid-centered STEM programming business. And she's the director of STEM Greenhouse, a nonprofit with a mission to improve math and science education for minorities and girls. Kelly, welcome to The Next Idea.
Thank you.
You describe growing up in an inner city neighborhood. I'm wondering what kind of career you saw for yourself as a child.
Well, I was fortunate that I did come from a family of educators. So I think I pretty much thought that eventually I would become a teacher, and I think I have in many ways. But I never knew anyone who enjoyed math or science, never had an opportunity to engage with anyone who was an engineer or a scientist or even a medical professional. So the people in my world were generally teachers or, you know, just the moms and dads of my family and friends who sometimes worked in factories or had some other type of administrative job.
And when and how did you first become aware of STEM and the possibility of a STEM career?
Well, I think the first time was in high school, actually. I know that's quite a leap, but I really didn't know anything about engineering or science until I got to high school, and I was in the 10th grade, and I was sent to the University of Michigan for a SWE, the Society of Women Engineers. They had a camp, and that was my first experience with STEM.
And you were saying in your essay that these summer programs, as you say, one white man after another, or maybe an Asian man here and there, were there telling you how wonderful STEM careers were, but you didn't see anyone that looked like you.
Yes, that's so true. And it's kind of interesting because there weren't even a lot of women, to be honest. This program that was for the Society of Women Engineers, the faculty were not necessarily women, but there were some students who were helping and guiding us, but there certainly weren't any African-American women or any African-Americans for that matter. And I remember, you know, there were a few of my friends that had gone to this particular summer program with me, and it just didn't seem like it was a good fit. It was nice, but I just couldn't picture myself being there and working with these people.
Well, how did you get over that doubt, that wall of doubt, and you persisted and you became a civil engineer?
Initially, I would say it was an experience I had with one of my friends. One of my friends was a year older than me. She had gone to college, and she majored in engineering. And it was really, I don't know, I had always been good in math and science, at least in high school. So, yeah, that was a little bit surprising to see her going into engineering. It almost gave me permission to even consider it as an option. At that time, I would say it was about April or May before my freshman year of college, and I was still undecided as a major, and after talking to her, I went ahead and selected, and actually I selected agricultural engineering as my major, but professionally I've been a civil engineer.
Now, the opening point, Kelly, you make in your essay for The Next Idea is really an interesting one. You note that people trying to solve the STEM shortage problem are either educators who really don't know what it takes to be a STEM professional, or they're STEM professionals who really don't know how to teach and reach kids in these underrepresented minority groups. What has that led to? I'm wondering what some of the efforts, maybe well-intentioned, that you've seen that fall short of what's needed.
Well, and I mentioned this a little bit in my essay, but when I go to a school or I speak to a school district, they may say, well, you know, there's a robotics club at one school, or even if you do happen to have a robotics club at one school, it's only, you know, 10 kids that are participating in it, and that's not all of STEM. You know, a robot is not representative of all of the diversity in that career field. You would never know. But someone who is an educator, to them, STEM, that might be all that they know about STEM. And in addition, when I, you know, if I speak to someone who is an academic, you know, they are used to teaching college students. They certainly are not familiar with younger K through 12 students, and especially students who perhaps are in areas of high poverty, So they can't relate to them culturally, and then there's just a lot of obstacles that would prevent that student to becoming successful, and sometimes they don't know how to address that.
But I'd like you, if you can, to kind of give us some of your ideas for getting more minorities and more women into STEM careers and moving beyond the robotics competitions or the STEM nights at schools to something that's deeper and has a more profound impact.
I think that one reason that the STEM night or that math night has become very popular is because schools are trying to address this in some way, and this is all they can really come up with, but it should only be a small part of an overall plan to encourage STEM careers among students. Part of this is academic preparation, and I think a lot of schools are trying to focus on improving mathematics and how they're teaching, but more, I believe they're trying to teach to test so that their scores are a little bit better, but that's only one part of it. There really has to be more of a comprehensive thought, and it really is just going to take some more investment. I mean, it's sad to say it, but you just can't wish it into existence. Somebody has to get really intentional about not only providing the STEM night, but providing tutoring, providing mentors, and opportunities and experiences for students so that they can even know what the STEM career is and what it looks like. And the people, hopefully people who, a diverse representation of people who are coming to the students and saying, hey, I'm an engineer, and if I can do this, you can do this. And I know that when I'm working with students, whether they're African American like me or if they're from another culture, you know, I might be the only African American engineer that they ever meet in their entire life. So I just want them to identify with me. I'm a regular person. I'm just like them. I went to school just like them, and I was able to become an engineer, and they can too.
So it's people in the STEM fields making sure that they reach back to kind of bring these youngsters along, and also then at the beginning of it for strengthening basic academics so the kids can mm-hmm. succeed once they're in college.
Yeah, and the thing is, just having someone who is an engineer or scientist come into a class and speak once, or, you know, that's one thing, but developing a relationship where they know this person and know their families. You know, when I was in school, I thought that someone who was a scientist, like, didn't even have a family, that they were antisocial, that they just didn't do the things that I did. They didn't go to church. They didn't have children. You know, I just had this perception based on media of what a scientist or an engineer was. And so it's important for kids to be able to develop these relationships. Now, this is not easy because scientists and engineers often have jobs that require them to stay busy and travel. But there are some organizations that have been really generous with their employees, allowing them to have some time to go to schools, as well as just people and programs like the STEM Greenhouse that try to connect people so that they develop that meaningful relationship. It's not the one day at the school STEM fair or something like that.
Kelly Christopher, your essay for The Next Idea, the title of it really does say it all. STEM isn't built in a night. You'll find the essay at the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. We certainly welcome your comments there, or at Michigan Radio's Facebook page, or on Twitter at Next Idea MI. Dr. Kelly Christopher, it was great to talk with you, and thank you for sharing your thoughts with us on The Next Idea.
Thank you for having me.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.